Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas, and on this edition of the show, Jeanette Pierce, the founder of City Institute, has written a children's book about Detroit. It's called Hello Detroit, and this book is just in time for the holidays. She'll be here to tell us all about it. Menorah in the D, Detroit's largest Hanukkah event, is just a week away. Rabbi Kasriel Shemtov says there will be some special moments at this event this year. And Simmons & Clark, the family-owned jewelry store on Broadway in Detroit, is celebrating its 100th anniversary. We'll check in with the third-generation owner, Michael Simmons, and his wife, Stacy. A great show about what's happening in and around the D right after these messages. Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas. We kick off Opportunity Detroit today with Jeanette Pierce. She's the founder of City Institute, mother of triplets, and now the author of a children's book about Detroit called Hello Detroit. Jeanette, thank you for being in studio with us today.
I'm so excited to be here. It's been a minute.
Yes, it has, but it's great to see you. So this book, the cover is beautiful. Tell us all about it.
Well, I'm so excited to finally have this project that's been in my head for a very long time out in the world. Hello Detroit is this great kids book, and it is illustrated by our good friend and colleague Dave Tunya. So it is just so vibrant, beautiful pages. And we've made some of them into coloring pages that you can download on our website at thecityinstitute.com.
Because that's pretty clever.
The kids are just so into it. And instead of coloring the actual book with crayons, they can do a coloring book. But yeah, at City Institute, you know, our whole mission is to help people understand and appreciate where they live and work. And that can includes kids.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
I grew up in the city. There's so many great, unique experiences to being a kid in Detroit. And I realized when I had my kids that there really weren't a lot of Detroit-centered kids books. Lots of Michigan ones.
Sure, right.
But Detroit-specific was kind of a big gap there.
So what's in this book? What are the different parts of Detroit that you talk about in this book for kids?
Yeah, well, so as you mentioned, I have triplets. They're 6 years old now. And I didn't sit down to at a computer and say, I'm going to write this book necessarily. But, you know, you're rocking kids to sleep and you're nap trapped and you get, you know, again, times three with triplets. So you get sick of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And so it becomes like, let's make up Detroit, Detroit, you're the best, East Side, West Side, and Southwest. And just started making these rhymes up that became the book. And it's all based on, again, being here in the city. So I have an affinity myself for buildings. I can tell you every building, year it's built, and you know why it's important, like the amazing Fisher Building, for example. So I wanted to include some of that. I've taught my kids some of the, they can tell, I'll say, what building has the big red ball? And they'll say, Penobscot.
It's
pretty
you.
Cute. So we have some of those in there. But then again, like the part that isn't just about tourism, which is great, but I think that was like a couple books that did exist were about like just visiting as a tourist. But when you live in the city, we have 300 parks, city-run parks. And that's not even getting into the Riverwalk and Campus Martius and those other awesome ones. You know, I grew up on the far east side of the city. So Ball Duck Park was a huge part of my childhood. And if you have not been, it's the perfect time of year for sledding on Ball Duck Hill, which is one of the quintessential Detroit experiences. But then on the far west side, you have Rouge Park, which is 1,100 acres. Guys, it's bigger than Belle Isle.
Yeah,
and has two
big
Olympic size regulation swimming pools. You know, so then obviously Belle Isle, and there's all the outside stuff, but don't forget about the inside stuff. Dawson Great Lakes Museum is amazing. The conservatory is back open, and the aquarium, so many great things. You can't not have the Riverwalk, and this is one of the ones where the kids get so excited because they recognize the carousel. They're like, I've been there. And that's what's so fun is when they're like, oh yeah, I've been there. I know that. The splash pad, the pirate ship splash pad at Mount Elliott Park. I mean, is one of the coolest things, and everyone, all the kids recognize that. I'll read this. I got to read it at my kids' school.
Oh, how great!
Just
is
a few
that?
Blocks from here, they're at a great Detroit Public Montessori school. Actually, we could talk about that later. But you know, and I hold it up, and they're all like, "Oh, I've been to Eastern Market," you know, and they all see things they're familiar with as part of their life. I also wanted to make sure we featured all the amazing art spaces like Heidelberg Project, Dobbles, Artist Village. Some grownups might be like, wait, where's that? I don't know where that is, or I haven't seen that. And that's also part of this, is it's still great for adults to realize how many great assets we have in the city. You can't do a kid's book without libraries. I remember when someone told me, when my kids were two, take them to the library. I'm like, they can't read. But our libraries have so many spaces for kids of all ages. And again, especially in these colder months where you can't just go to the corner playground as easily, having the libraries is important. And we take for granted our amazing museums, world-class museums. I mean, obviously, Detroit Institute of Arts, but the Charles H. Wright Museum, the Science Center. I mean, my kids go nuts. And the Historical Museum is so awesome for kids. I may be on the board and a little biased, but it's because
but
my
it
kids
is.
Have
You're
so
right.
much fun there. The Glancy Train exhibit, the Streets of Old Detroit. There's a comic book exhibit right now. I mean, and they're allowed to touch things and run around, right? People think, oh, it's a history museum. Maybe we can't. You know, it's stuffy. It's exactly not that. And it's, they've been really intentional about making it a space for kids. So those are some of the highlights. Obviously, we could talk about Detroit's music. You know, we founded Techno.
Let's talk about that, you know? Though. I mean, the pictures of Detroit's music scene, they're beautiful.
Well, that's partially because Dave, the designer, is also a musician. He was also a tour guide from us. He's a jack of all trades. But he actually does a lot of projects where he designs like the rock posters or the concert posters. And so this was right up his alley. But this is just one of those fun little parts. Hello, Detroit music that's made the world dance through the years. Hello, Motown and techno that Detroit pioneered. A lot of people don't realize, we all know Motown, but Techno Museum is just down the street, and people from all over the world get excited about it. And kids really like to groove to that, you know, that those beats of techno.
Yes, they
too.
Do. Well, and we have that huge techno festival.
Movement, yes, a Memorial Day weekend.
Isn't it like just right around May?
The founders of Techno will play a club here for a small amount of money and then go to Germany and play a 20,000-seat stadium.
Seriously?
Yeah. I just got to see a few of them at a little bar on the East Side last week. It was like, wait, people would go nuts to know that we just have access to such great musicians.
And I love how you have the white stripes in here. That's fantastic.
Yes,
and the Aretha Franklin Amphitheater. Oh,
Cliff
my
Bells.
Gosh.
I mean, like, there's so many different types of things. I definitely grew up in the garage rock, you know, White Stripes era. I grew up with some of their family and everything. But really, this is, and each of these is almost like, we've talked about, like, making them into little posters themselves, each the different
the
pages.
The illustrations in this book are spectacular.
They're
I mean,
really
he did
amazing.
A beautiful job. You know, I know the book is for kids.
Yes.
And obviously, kids of all ages are going to absolutely love Hello, Detroit. But I think adults are going to go nuts over this book because of all the little facts you have in here. You know, talking about the parks, 300 parks, talking about Eastern Market since 1891. A lot of people probably don't know that. But there's little tiny facts in here that are pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's for people who love design, love information, love Detroit, right? And, you know, for little kids, you can, like, read it to them, and then they can also get to the point where they're reading it themselves, and you can just really connect with the city and use. We're going to do tours around these locations as well come spring, summer, so that you can literally see what's inspired me to write this book.
Okay, so this is a great idea. So you could take the whole family and they could bring the book and then follow along on
yes,
the tour?
Absolutely. Imagine. I mean, and these are places, you know, I mean, that's what we do at City Institute for those that aren't familiar, right, is we do tours for locals, by locals, to learn more and connect more with whatever part they don't know. It doesn't discount what we do know, but there's, you know, we know our side of town, we know the places we go, and there's so much more, both things that have been around a long time, but of course new places all the time as well. We're gonna have to already add Ralph Wilson Park here.
Absolutely.
You know, and
right.
I already have a second edition in my head.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, around the holidays, Let's talk about that for a few minutes,
yes,
because our listening audience is always looking for things to do with the kids. You've got the triplets, 6 years old. Where do you take them in Detroit during this holiday season? What are some of your highlights?
Yeah, it's so amazing. You know, we call my kids the city triplets. We're
yes,
always like just
rightfully
doing all
so,
the things. But it's so easy, you know, because, I mean, first downtown, of course, you know, we get to go to the tree lighting every year where the Downtown Detroit Partnership puts on. And if you haven't been, that is really, really special. They also make it a little bit more accessible to kids if you don't want the major, major crowds over at Beacon Park. They do a smaller kids tree lighting, if you're not aware.
Oh,
and
cute.
So Beacon Park has activations, Campus Martius, Decked Out Detroit, of course, with which is the whole program to have all these amazing things happening downtown. Right now, there's the Create Detroit, and like we yesterday were able to go make a craft with the Grinch. and then the day before, we were also there. We did, and it was Elsa and Anna, and we're making bags, and it was $5 to like have them have these paint markers and do all this fun stuff. The Santa Winter Wonderland down there. Not only do you get to see Santa, but like while you're waiting in line, you're not even waiting in line, you're getting to see this whole and take photos with all these great things. The winter markets, actually, I'm normally wearing my earrings by Bespoke by Feldman, which is handmade leather goods, but she has the 313 earrings that are amazing. But even, again, in the neighborhoods, you have all these small businesses, and they're all, like, cozy and warm and doing all these things that, you know, story time. So we're doing a couple story times for the book coming up in December. December 18th, we're going to be at Boss Blue, coffee hour and story time. Who doesn't love that? And then on Sunday, the 21st, so for your last minute shoppers or just looking for getting out of the house a little, we're going to be at the Historical Museum for, again, story time and book signing, and it's going to be really fun. But other things I would say, you definitely got to go sledding on Belle Isle. We got a little snow, and it's we were already out in the backyard. The kids just get so excited for it. And Midtown, actually, they're not having Noel night this year, but they are doing kind of a little, the Cass Canfield City Bird Source Booksellers, that area. There's so much where you can all just go, and you're not outside for very long because you can just go into these little shops and cafes, and see all the lights, right? The kids just love seeing all the sparkly lights around the holidays.
Now, tell our listeners, how can they get this book?
Yes. So, very simple. I'm trying not to do the Amazon route. the publisher that we used, that we worked with, did put it there on Amazon. But please try to go to some of the great local small businesses, Source Booksellers, City Bird, Next Chapter Books, which is on the far east side of the city by Baldock Park, Pages on the far west side of the city. And yes, you can go to thecityinstitute.com and also order it online directly from us. And, you know, we hope that it's a great non-battery powered present that can be given for kids, which is, you know, seems like there's less and less options for those kind of things.
Honestly, it's a spectacular present. It's a great gift for kids, especially kids that are growing up in the city of Detroit, in the Metro Detroit area, or even in the state of Michigan.
Yes, well, and expats, right? So it's
yes,
a great,
and
when I sign it, I always say, hope to see you in Detroit soon. And that could be them sending it to their grandkids in, you know, Phoenix, you know, that 100th day of 100 degrees, they're going to be wanting to go sledding.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Now, before I let you go, can you give us a little hint? When will those tours start for families in the new year?
Yes. So we can always do the custom tours now. So if it's something someone wants to schedule for as a part of the present, like, hey, let's do a little family tour. We can
smart, mostly
do private tours for groups, families, companies, all that. But we'll probably wait till like the summertime, like May, so we can, you know, go to the splash pad and
sure, do
a little bit more of those things. But we have fun Four Seasons, you know, all around in Detroit. And that's, you know, we showcase all of that in the book.
So smartest thing to do is just go to City Institute, to the website.
Yep, thecityinstitute.com. You can ask us to book something for your family, or make a little gift. We can do gift certificates for both our public tours that are coming in the future as well as private ones. But yeah, and then follow us on social media, all that stuff, so you can see when we announce in the spring our whole summer tour schedule, which will have these kid tours, but a lot of other ones as well.
Jeanette Pierce, a founder of City Institute, congratulations on this book, Hello Detroit. It's awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, planning is underway for Menorah in the D. We'll give you the details. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. We now say hello to Rabbi Kasriel Shemtov. He is the executive director of Chabad Lubavitch of Michigan. Rabbi, welcome to Opportunity Detroit.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Detroit's largest Hanukkah event is coming to Campus Martius. It's the 15th annual Menorah in the D event, and it takes place on Sunday, December 14th. Tell us all about it. This year, it sounds, Rabbi Shemtov, like it's going to be spectacular.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's interesting that we feel we're getting more interest in the event this year than we ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
So we're expecting even larger attendance. You know, it's amazing just to be here, and thousands of people will be coming down on this day, coming out into the center of the city, celebrating a beautiful holiday that brings a message of bringing light into the world, bringing warmth into the world, and light into darkness. Because that is the message of the evening, to be able to bring light to the world around us. So we're looking forward to celebrate with the thousands, and there's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of wonderful entertainment, and we're getting ready.
How does it work? So people come down and kind of describe how the whole Menorah in the D evening works.
Well, we come down to, right there by Campus Martius, and it's there's fun for the whole family. There's going to be music. There's going to be celebration, strolling entertainment. This is before the actual ceremony. There's always things for the children. There's photo ops with the Hanukkah mensch. Okay, so they have fun with that. You have dreidel man. You have dancing dreidels. You have, balloons, animals, hats. There's crafts and games and treats for the kids. And there's just a wonderful, time of just being there, celebrating, dancing, singing, and enjoying the community. And that's, kind of how it starts off. And then we get to the ceremony itself. And, the ceremony is really wonderful. We have a great representation from so many different segments of the community, both in terms of the individuals that are attending, the organizations that have participated and are partnering in this effort, volunteers. We have also dignitaries and public officials from all across the aisle. Bringing light into the darkness is there for everybody, no matter where you are politically or where you stand. This is a message that we all can agree on. And we have this ceremony where everyone's given an opportunity to be able to connect in that way. And finally, we go up on our 26-foot menorah. There's a special lift, and we go up on the lift to light the menorah. That is probably, you could say the highlight of the evening, when everyone is looking up to that 26-foot menorah and we light the candle. And together with that, we all look forward to a year of hope and light.
Isn't it incredible that something that began in 2011 with just a few hundred people has grown into this great citywide tradition? Wow.
Yes, yes. I remember that vividly, that first time we were there. It was actually quite dark. There wasn't so many lights downtown at that time. And we didn't know what to expect and who would be coming. And when 500-600 people arrived, we realized this is something that interests a lot of people. There was a special feeling of a connection and celebration that was taking place. And that's when we decided to create the Detroit menorah, as we call it. We turned to our designers and we established this 26-foot menorah, and that was already the second year. We were already, receiving even larger crowds. I think it doubled from the year before, and then it just kept on growing, and the interest keeps on growing. And I think it's something that unites the entire community because everyone realizes that, you know, we have to be there for each other and we have to inspire each other to be better human beings and be able to be a light in the world. Each one of us could be that light. And, you know, this year we always give a theme to the year. This year we called it Illuminate. And it's more of a call to action where it's not only you should be a light in the darkness, but you should illuminate others, you know, to go out there and search out a friend, a neighbor, a challenge, and bring light into that section of the world that you are able to. And that's the theme of tonight, that these lights that we light in the darkness, should each one of us should participate in that.
And isn't this a great way to teach children about Hanukkah?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, as you know, in Jewish tradition, everyone lights the candles in their own home every night of Hanukkah. But even in their own homes, we do it by the doorpost or by the window because the message is to shine outwards. Okay, very unique in the tradition to have such a tradition to be doing the mitzvah outdoors, and when we do it in public, we can do it together. We could celebrate and we can bring this message home in a much more powerful way.
And this year's event, it's my understanding, is going to feature a deeply emotional moment. Can you talk about this?
Yes, indeed, indeed. You know, it was 2 years ago that we had at our menorah in the D, we had a young woman by the name of Ella Ben-Ami. And she was a young woman from Israel who on October 7th was hiding for 17 hours while her family was being taken, you know, as hostages. And when she came here, you know, she was coming to pray with the community, to plead with the world, to see to it that her family could go free and all the others. And her message really touched a nerve, and many people connected with her. Some of them even continued, you know, being in touch with her throughout. And to think that now she's coming to Detroit with her two parents, both of them were hostages, and they're now both freed, and we can celebrate together. It's really like a coming home, and it brings home the message of our belief in miracles, our belief in a brighter future. And I think when her family, the Ben-Ami family, will be standing on that stage together with all of us, it's a moment that we can thank God for the good that we have, for the miracles that we have, and to really look forward together for a brighter future.
And, you know, you think about the tragedy, the suffering that this family has gone through, and the fact that they're going to be at this event. You talk about a light in the darkness. What a great example of that.
It is. It is. You know, I remember sitting there right before the event 2 years ago, and we had a FaceTime with Israel at that time, talking to the family about what was going on. It's just quite amazing to be. Many thought it was impossible, you know, to hope that they will all come back in this way. And you know, in terms of Ella, her family, and I believe that it's a moment of celebration where we can all come together and recognize, you know, who we are, what we stand for, and first and foremost, the message of Hanukkah.
Now, for our listeners who want to support this or participate or even volunteer, how can they get involved in this?
Well, there is a website called menorahinthed.com, and it's also on Facebook, and they could definitely message us in any of these forms. Many people are helping out. Many people are volunteering. So that would be wonderful. And, you know, everyone is welcome. You know, the message of Hanukkah is, even way back then, thousands of years ago, was one of religious freedom, where the Syrian Greeks tried to persecute the Jewish people for their religion. And Hanukkah recognizes that celebration of being able to, you know, practice our religion. And this is something that the United States really stands for all people. And this is a wonderful evening for people of all walks of life to be able to celebrate the message of light and the message of religious freedom.
No, it's a wonderful, wonderful event. We're talking to Rabbi Kasriel Shumtov. He's the executive director of Chabad Lubavitch of Michigan. Rabbi, are you feeling hopeful about everything that we're hearing out of the Middle East these days?
Well, we have to look forward with hope. And if each one of us does our part, those things that we can affect, we all do our little act of light. And the entire world needs to participate, and we'll have a better world. So I always look forward with optimism and hope.
Thank you for your time today, and I hope you have a wonderful event. It's Sunday, December 14th, Menorah in the D at Campus Martius, and it starts at 5 o'clock. So that should be right around sundown, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Well, I hope it's a wonderful, wonderful event, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, there's a jewelry store in Detroit, and it's celebrating its 100th anniversary. We'll tell you all about it. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. Simmons & Clark Jewelers is celebrating its 100th anniversary in the city of Detroit. So I thought it would be a great opportunity to talk to third-generation owner Michael Simmons and his wife, Stacy. Welcome to Opportunity Detroit, and thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it, Ann.
And, Michael, I want you to start out and kind of give us the history of this incredible store.
Thank you. So, I mean, literally 1920, my grandfather moves from Ohio up to Detroit because Henry Ford was paying that crazy, unheard-of $5-a-day wage. Detroit's booming. He ends up getting a job working for another jeweler around the corner on Griswold in downtown Detroit and meets his future partner, Harry Clark. They became fast friends and speed up 5 years. They were able to earn and borrow enough, $5,000 each. So $10,000 was invested in the store and opened up around the corner on Broadway, and we're still on Broadway today. So 1925, again, Detroit is booming. One of their catches was they could offer credit to people so you could kind of make it affordable luxury. In this case, not everybody was making potentially $5 a day or somewhere, but they couldn't necessarily afford an engagement ring, or they couldn't afford a watch and so on. So they were able to put a dollar down, paid a dollar a week until it was paid in full. And the other fun part was they were, in 1925, they had donated $100 to the Widows and Orphans Fund for the City of Detroit Police Department. Unfortunately, an officer had been killed in the line of duty, and they were so appreciative that my grandfather was invited into the police academy, and everybody in the police academy had to have two things, a pen and a watch, so they knew they could write up their report and knew what time and day it was. And our first couple thousand accounts were actually mostly Detroit police officers, and things just ballooned from there. And to today, we're now celebrating our 100th anniversary, our centennial, and for me, a dream come true that being third generation, I'm keep continuing the legacy of my grandfather and my dad, had the unique opportunity to work with them. It's just super bonus and amazing feeling because I love what I do, and I don't think I could be any luckier than where I am right now.
And I'm sure you would give lots of credit to your beautiful wife, Stacy, as being there for you to support this incredible family business.
She continues to tell me that, but I do have to agree with her. I am outrageously lucky. She understands retail. She had worked in retail in a very short stint in her life, so she more than understands the demands, but she knows how much I love it. And she gets involved with it as well. She helps do all our displays. For a recent centennial event, it was really all her. And it's a spectacular, but there, as they say, there's always an amazing woman behind the successful story, or you know, there's somebody always behind them. Well, Stacy's behind me, leads me, mm-hmm. and just been very, very fortunate.
And Stacy, you have an interesting background that helps with what you're doing with regard to the store now. Talk about that.
Well, I come from, my first jobs when I was really young were in retail, but I actually came from working in advertising. When I was in my advertising days, that was before you could do everything yourself on the computer, but we'd have to go into the art room to put together our presentation materials. So I would go in there and create all my presentation materials and because nobody could give me the time because everybody else was working,
sure.
and realized that I enjoyed doing that than actually selling the ads. So I started running my own display business. So Simmons & Clark was my first account, but that was, we had already been dating and he gave me that opportunity. And at one point they had 5 stores and I think it was 30 display windows. And I also helped other retailers, independent retailers, in doing their display work. So I come from that. And over the past later part of my career, I was working in community outreach for museums. So I was working with schools and then nonprofits, both at the DIA and at the Henry Ford, where I was in a museum setting. So the idea of being able to preserve the family history and give a tribute to the generations before has been pretty remarkable and a thrill. And it's just being able to help carry on that legacy. And it's telling not just the story of this retail store, but it's also showing advertising and the evolution of advertising as we've come up with catalogs that go back to the 1930s, 40s, and 50s that are now part of our chandeliers. And we have the catalogs on our counters because it's an interesting story. And it gives you a glimpse of what was going on in the world at that time, or at least our local world.
And, you know, Michael, Stacy's talking about her work in museums. Simmons & Clark Jewelers is in a building, is in a store that basically, to me, looks like a mini museum. It's absolutely beautiful.
Right. I mean, my family saved everything. Stacy will easily attest to that. we literally have the original accounts. As I said, we had opened one of the original credit jewelers in the country. We have the original account cards from 1925, as well as all the advertising. We really try to keep everything. That's the huge benefit of owning the building. And putting everything in there and kind of keeping everything. So we have cleaned it out, not 100%. There's still a lot here, but it is fascinating. The more we uncover, I'm not sure, as Stacy was talking about, uncovering the old advertisements that we used to have that we made into our chandeliers. We have these great, amazing ad books that we used to run a lot in the Detroit Times, predecessor Detroit News, and the Free Press, where our advertising agency had to cut out each ad to prove the ad run. So we found this amazing set of 8 books that had all these newspaper ads that we ran, photos of my grandfather and his partner Harry Clark, advertisement of radios, TV stereos, wedding rings that you could buy, you know, a really nice wedding ring for $24.95 back in the 1930s. It was just very fun to uncover these things, and just made it even more special for me, even though I grew up in it, hearing about it, sitting at the dinner table and having my dad talk about it, or we'd be at a family dinner with my grandfather. It was just fascinating. And then to uncover all these things, which we actually didn't even know we had, was just a dream. It was an amazing dream that came true here.
Oh, it's a great story. You know, as Detroit's longest-standing family-owned jewelry store, you know, the other part of the story is your family, you included, Michael, you, Stacy, you have seen so much change in the city of Detroit. Talk about the resilience that it had to have taken to stay there on Broadway, right across from the Opera House, through all kinds of interesting times.
It's again, very, very lucky, very smart grandfather, very smart dad who hustled, worked very hard, which is how I grew up learning. And I give the exact same 100% that they gave. And our customers are outrageously loyal to them because we're very loyal to them. And even reverting back to the credit, so if somebody kind of has a bumper bruise, they get laid off, the auto industry, you know, shuts down for a couple weeks, they don't get a paycheck for a couple weeks, we're working with them to do whatever we can because we want to keep them as a customer. It's hard enough to earn their trust, but once we have it, we have it. And that's why at the event we just recently had, we had customers who've been trading with us for 30, 40, 50 years. The newer customers are actually generational customers where their kids or their, well, not their parents or their grandparents shop with us. And even Reverend Anthony, Wendell Anthony, had remember coming in as a kid with his family. And Simmons and Clark is the place to go. So it was just a very warm feeling, and it makes me feel great that we can continue keep capturing more milestones.
And, you know, this retail store, Stacy, is filled with absolutely beautiful jewelry. Talk about some of the pieces that people can find when they visit the store.
Well, as far as the merchandise, we carry everything and anything you could want in all different price points. We want to make it accessible to anybody, as well as if you want to make something custom, it can be done. Everything from earrings, necklaces, bracelets, rings, watches. If you want to wear it, we can find it, or we have it, or we can find it for you.
And, you know, Michael, Stacy says you have people that have worked there for more than 30 years. To me, that means that you believe in taking really good care of not just your customers, but also your employees.
Right. I mean, it's truly a team effort that I'm only one person, so there's only so much I can do.
Sure.
But we have this great staff between Peggy and Gina, each been with us for 30 plus years, and they're just amazing. They know what their responsibilities are. They have the same philosophy that I have or my parents had or our grandparents had, which was treat someone like you would want to be treated. And not only do we talk the talk, but we actually do the walk. We treat everybody like family, actually in some cases better than family. it's a great feeling, and they're really talented. And they make every possible effort they can for anybody who walks in the door, whether you're a brand new customer or somebody who's been trading with us for 50 years. We want to take care of you, make you feel like you're walking into your house.
Michael and Stacy Simmons, well, happy anniversary. Congratulations on 100 years. I hope you have 200, 300, 400 more. This is just a really great story for the city of Detroit and for your beautiful family.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
I'm Ann Thomas. Thanks for listening to Opportunity Detroit, and enjoy the rest of your day.